Get ready, girls. This is a take.
You're listening. Sorry. 3, 2, 1, record. You're listening to League Podcast, episode 396. I'm Matt Durson.
I'm John Hunt.
Clay, Born Ready Inferno.
All right. We're all ready. Well, hope everybody had a nice Thanksgiving and Turkey Day and Richard Foss Memorial Football Game. And
no all one had that anymore.
We didn't have that. We're
that hasn't been going on for like 10 years.
Is it?
Well,
that
no one ever wants to.
Yeah. Well, I'm not usually around anymore. I have familial obligations.
Yeah.
My wife.
And yeah.
My wife.
Do you, we probably couldn't get enough people to play anyway.
Well, that's the problem because everybody's old and they've got family obligations.
So. Yeah. Clay, what did you do for Thanksgiving? Did you
I headed have up familial? To my sister's house for some family traditions. And we had
traditions. Clay's so much nicer. I call them obligations, like it's a thing I have to do.
Well, yeah, like, you have the in-laws. And you get out of Jersey.
Yes.
Right? Here's the thing. You guys are married. You guys are all married. I'm a single bachelor here. But let's be honest, I'm not really a bachelor.
Not really.
Right, you're not really a bachelor.
But more and more often, people start saying, oh, your wife. Talking about me and Stacy, like, because they're like a step removed from being close enough a friend that they would know that we were married, but still like close enough to know who Stacy is. You know what I mean? My downstairs neighbor said, oh, I brought in your wife's mail. And, it has
an like, don't tell my girlfriend about the wife.
Yeah. Right.
And then I had a friend.
It's kind of funny.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
And then I was like, yeah. And then I almost like want, because like your first instinct is go, oh, no, we're not married or whatever. Then it's like, why bother? Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, if they're not important enough to know, then you might as well lie off. You might as well lie your face off.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure it'll happen eventually. So they're not like really wrong. You know?
Yeah. No, they're not wrong. I think there was a time, and I suppose this is going back many, many years, but you know, before I even thought about when I was like, I'll never get married. People would say like, oh, your wife. And I'd be like, no.
Yeah.
But
no,
that was dumb and stupid.
Now you can say my wife.
Yeah. My wife. It's a fun word to say, I guess. I used to think, oh, I don't want to even, I'll say my spouse. When you say my wife, it's like possession or something, but that doesn't mean it's not that. You say it all the time now.
Well, you say about my hand, but that's not really possessive, you know, my head.
What are you saying? Oh, okay. You were insinuating something.
You're talking about single guys. My hand.
Insinuating that I'm married to my hand.
Yeah, my hand. Right, let's go. But instead of my hand, we'll go my knee. Or,
right. So there you are. Yeah, I mean, this is dumb, like I said, dumb, stupid Matt Durson. Now I'm so enlightened now, it's amazing.
Yeah, now you're woke, Durson.
Yeah,
well, Stacy and I really are, like, we would say, like, it sounds so, it, like, makes me cringe to even think about it, but in reality, the word is, like, partner. So I have found myself say, oh, my partner, yeah, she paints signs or whatever.
If anyone
like,
says,
sounds like, you sound like such a creep. You sound like a creep.
If anyone refers to my wife as my partner, I just think of that part in Raiders of the Lost Ark where she says, I'm your goddamn partner. And then puts the Staff of Ra thing into the camera.
That was, you know what's funny? I don't know what channel, but when I was in New Jersey, some channel was playing like all the Indiana Jones movies. And I watched Raiders of the Lost Ark and I was like, oh my God, this movie is incredible. Like it still looks incredible.
When we saw it, when they did that brief re-release, well, it's like 7 years ago now, but I was like, wow, I haven't sat down to watch this movie. It's on in the background, and I haven't seen it on the big screen since the early 80s, and I was like, it is a great movie.
It is a really great movie. Like, it flows so well. Everything looks good. Like, it's not dated at all. I mean, I guess 1930s dated, but like, you know, but yeah, I was like, oh my God. And then they showed Temple of Doom. And I was like, oh, this movie's not that good.
I still love Temple of Doom, even though it's, I know it's the inferior film. And then after that, I never cared about The Last Crusade. Cause then they were just,
And then I forget it
with that other one.
Well, yeah, don't even count.
I'm not saying I hate Last Crusade, but out of the original three, it was my least favorite. I guess they were my favorites in order that they came out.
I mean, I'm not begrudging your opinion. I found Last Crusade, like, there were parts of it that were way better. And I think basically it didn't have Willie in Short Round.
No, look, again, I know that those other movies are, like, better movies, but for some reason I still enjoy Temple of Doom.
I mean, I don't know. It's not that there was just too much.
And there's a lot of racial stereotypes in it too. And there's a whole scene lifted right out of Octopussy in the movies where they're eating the monkey's brains and stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't care. I still enjoy it. Maybe it's just the time it came out.
Right. When it comes out and you're a kid and you're like, woo, Indiana Jones. And it was actually like the most violent PG movie ever or whatever. It was the whole controversy there. They had to make a rating.
Think about what a good summer that was for movies. You had your Indiana Jones, you had Gremlins, you had Star Trek III, Ghostbusters. I'm going to forget a bunch of other ones, like The Last Starfighter, even though I'm not a big fan of that, but that sort of was the pioneer for CG effects and stuff.
I haven't watched this show yet, but there's a new show on Netflix, The Movies That Made Us. And
Ghostbusters, I haven't watched it yet.
Well, now I know what the theme sounds like.
Yeah.
Have you watched it, Clay? Do you know?
No, I haven't. I just thought it's Toys That Made Us.
Yeah, it is. It's like the Toys That Made Us, but it's the movies. And Ghostbusters is one of those movies.
Ghostbusters. Yeah.
I would say of all those
perfect
movies you just mentioned, like, I'm like, and as far as Star Wars and Star Trek is concerned, I'm least familiar with Indiana Jones as a franchise than all of anything else that came out in the 80s. Like, I liked it, but I never was like super into it. I know I've seen all the movies. I couldn't tell you what happened.
I think that's the thing. Like, they're kind of like second banana to Star Wars and stuff, but
yeah,
I mean, they're really good.
It's not like I don't like it. It's just like, it wasn't like, I wasn't as excited when it came out, but I think, but for Stacey, my partner, she's way into archaeology.
Your goddamn partner.
She's way into archaeology. So like, you know, the same excitement I got out of Star Wars, she probably got out of Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know?
Maybe. I mean, I know that, what's her name? Marion Ravenwood.
Yeah, Karen Allen.
Karen Allen. She was like, I was like, wow, she's very pretty too. I kind of forgot, because I was like a little kid when I saw it and I didn't care. I just wanted to
see. She's a very lovely lady.
But I'm like, oh my God.
That was when you were married to your hand.
Very pretty.
Yeah. Well, I was six and I was married to my hand.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know what was going on down there, but I still don't. Pretty. she was pretty.
Gonna have to rate this one PG-13, huh?
What?
Yeah, they don't have a middle. I didn't even think she looked rating. They just have explicit and not.
I don't think she looked terrible in that last Indiana Jones movie for a woman in her 60s. I guess.
Yeah, right.
No, I think she aged fine. You know, but I mean, she looked like an older woman, but she still looked good for her age.
Yeah, yeah. And like, we hadn't seen her at all. Yeah. And I hadn't seen her probably since.
Well, what else? Scrooge.
Scrooge, right?
Yeah. And she was in Starman.
Starman. E.T.
Yeah, that.
Starman from Pro Wrestling, the Nintendo game?
Yeah, Starman. She was the mom in Sandlot.
What a great game that is.
The pro wrestling game from Nintendo.
I
played that. My nephew had that when I went down to see them for Thanksgiving. He was like, "Oh, look at this! I have this Nintendo game that's like all these old Nintendo games or whatever." And I was like, "Oh my God, pro wrestling! We got to play this." And stinks.
But he quoted.
Did they have what was
Spider-Man?
The baseball game?
What was the baseball game?
What
RBI baseball?
We didn't play any base. We only played Bases Loaded.
Bases Loaded. Thank you.
Yeah. No, but they had pro wrestling. And like the Amazon, like the green guy that would bite your head.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Forgot all about him.
It's such a cheesy game, but I was like, oh, it's so awesome.
That's where video games lost me, is when they started to get after that, like, generation. After that, what was it? Boo at Mario Kart 64. After that, I was just like, oh, forget it. This is a frozen rope, you know, around that time.
Mario Kart has become, like, so much more involved now than when we used to have our epic battles.
Yeah.
It's so, there are so many different characters, and you can play as Link from Zelda. Like, it's so weird. What? You can pick different cars and everything. It's so insane. Needless to say, I was very bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't do it. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, I was bad in 1993.
Just imagine how bad I am now. Yeah. I have all these years to get worse.
All those epic battles that I was talking about, they weren't really epic because you literally beat me like every single time, pretty much. Yeah.
Then I would just start to get like, this isn't fun by letting them beat me. So I take these ridiculous chances in any video game we play, and then you start to catch up. And I was like, why did I do that?
Now it's been revealed all along. Yeah,
now you know that once you start doing well in the game, it was because I was getting bored.
I think I remember the last time you and I played a video game. It was one of those epic. It was one of those Star Wars Lego things.
Oh, that was a good day. Yeah.
We were doing the voices.
Yeah, we just kept talking like Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's not the way you go. Let's go.
Let's go over here. Let's try this.
Watch out for that man.
Yeah. So fun stuff though. For yeah, old men playing video. Yeah.
Old men. Old man Kenobi.
Old men.
We were watching the Albert Finney Scrooge the other night. Which I hadn't seen in 100 years. And I didn't realize that Alec Guinness was Jacob Marley in the movie.
Really?
Because I wouldn't have recognized. He looked like Ben Franklin because he's, you know, he's bald and he's kind of fat and does this weird like interpretive dance when he walks through the door. And I think it's supposed to be he's like moving around things that you can't see, but it's really weird. He like comes in like that woman who was in Suicide Squad, the lady that's like the main bad guy, and how she's always like wiggling like she's belly dancing. That's sort of what imagine Ben Franklin. Yes, imagine Ben Franklin with chains on him going through a door like that. It was quite funny
as Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Well, that'd be even better. Ben Franklin playing Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Ben Franklin.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan Benjamin Franklin.
Franklin, that's a name I heard since before you were born.
But yeah, you could still just go by Ben. It's fine.
Yeah, you could. Oh my God. I wonder if he means Ben Franklin.
He's an old hermit. I wonder if he means he's just a crazy old man with that with the kite and that key and the lightning.
That electricity and shit. Oh my God.
He's just a crazy old man. Lives out beyond the Dune Sea.
He says there's
somewhere
a force
in Philadelphia
that could power everything.
What?
Speaking of the Dune Sea, I guess, should we talk about the Mandalorian some more? We talked about it enough. Has this just become the Mandalorian podcast?
Let's talk about it, because I actually watched it. So I was on while I was working. So it's probably going to be things that I don't pick up on.
Well, this latest episode, I just watched it. I mean, there's a lot of I like there's Amy Sedaris is one of my I love Amy Sedaris, so she's really funny and then she's in it a little bit. What's her name? She's the mechanic. Yeah, and Ming-Na Wen from
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Some guy that I follow on Facebook, on Instagram, and he follows me back. He is like always hanging out with her. I don't think they're together, but he's like a production artist in Hollywood. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I was trying to figure it out because she's married. So, but anyway, I was like,
my partner.
Okay.
Maybe it's just
I see her all the time in my.
Yeah, maybe.
Goddamn.
Speaking of a woman who, like, an older woman who looks pretty good. I mean, she's not young. She was born in 1963.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's older than me. Even. I'm the elder here.
She looks taking care of herself.
She looks. I know. Yeah. Good for her. And she does like, you know, karate kicky stuff in this episode. kicks. And that is Jake Cannavale, the son of Bobby Cannavale.
So, you know what? When he first showed up on screen in the in Han Solo Village, what and he I was like, oh, it's the lesser known
Chewbacca Christmas.
It's the lesser known Franco. And then they zoomed in a little bit, and I was like, no, that's not it. That's not a Franco. It's not like Dave Franco.
No, it's not. No, it's not Dave Franco. It's yeah, but it's Bobby Cannavale. So Bobby Cannavale's son. So Ant-Man, it's the guy from Ant-Man.
More importantly, Boardwalk
and a bunch of other things. Sure. I don't know. I never watched it.
But. Oh, my God. That shows.
But you're right. He's more than the guy from Ant-Man. But I figured this is a nerd podcast.
We have to even know which the guy from Ant-Man we're talking about.
So. The new like his ex-wife's new. I don't know. Partner, I guess.
Is it from the second Ant-Man?
Both.
Well, he was in both of them.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I only saw Ant-Man once and I never saw the second one. So.
Oh, okay. Well, he's a cop who, like, and he hates the fact that Scott Lang was a jailbird and all that stuff. So, I don't know why we get that much into it. It's his son. It's not him, but he's pretty good. And
did a good job recreating those sets, even though I felt we were sort of retreading old stuff again.
I know. Like, are there no other space sports in this whole universe?
Yeah. They have to keep going to Mos Eisley. What I said to Stacy, but I also thought that if you were like a bounty hunter, maybe like go to where the money is. Like that is definitely a place where shit's going down. I don't know.
But it seemed like he just kind of happened to be there because he was chased by that other guy.
All right. I'm of two minds. I totally agree.
It's nice. I mean, the show is all about like, it seems to be a lot about like nostalgia. So just.
Yeah. I am also of two minds, Clay, because I feel that way. And I also I loved like the first three episodes. And I feel like these last two have been sort of a little meandering. Like I felt like the last one was sort of like a cross between Army of Darkness and like an episode of Firefly. And I don't feel like the story is progressing all of a sudden. It just sort of feels like we're like.
Well, I can see that. Definitely.
And this episode was written by Dave Filoni, who I said that, you know. His Rebel show was like one awesome episode. Then he had to sit through six fillers to get to another awesome one.
Yeah. I don't think these are really fillers though. Fillers. I think they maybe this like benefits from a binge through when it's all over.
I think probably. Yeah.
It might not seem as meandering. You'd be like, cool, there's this happen. Part of the story. Here's the armor story. Here's the firefight story. Here's the escape of Baby Yoda. Here's the one where, you know,
and maybe he brings maybe Ming-Na I'm Wen used to the way and then she dies.
She can't be dead. I don't think she's dead.
I think she's dead. No, she's dead. I mean, I think she's dead.
I think maybe it because I'm used to the way television is set up now, where it's always like a chapter and a larger story, as opposed to television 20 and 30 years ago, where each week was very episodic. And it like maybe there might be a vague tie to something, a overarching story. But I feel like these last two have just been sort of like, you know, like watching The Incredible Hulk from the 70s, where it's like, oh, the Mr. McGee is after me.
Yeah.
And okay, here's who I help out this week.
You're right. Like Chris Pine, a.k.a. Captain Kirk in Star Trek Beyond.
Everything
like,
feels episodic.
Feels a little episodic.
Yeah.
Well, I have a I guess I see. Yeah, I definitely see that. And these last two episodes have definitely just been kind of like, you know, standalone kind of episodes. It seems like or like what do they used to call them on like Buffy the Vampire Slayer or X-Files? They would call it like Monster of the Week kind of thing. Yeah. Where they would just have like a one off kind of thing. But there was some at the very end that I want to. It's like that last shot. Speaking of dead Min Wei Yang,
I don't think she's dead.
So who was that that went up to her and like went up to her body?
That's Boba Fett.
maybe
he just
Boba Fett's solid. Not dead. Yeah, he just got out of there. Just like little 7-year-old Mac Durson always wanted him to escape from that Sarlacc pit.
He's like, I can't wait for the franchise to return to this place 30 years later so that I can come back in. I see film crews.
Yeah. All right. Oh, I better get out now. Yeah, I mean, obviously someone is on his tail, I guess we're supposed to believe that someone is following him, right? That's what I got out
of it. So that wasn't...
Because they wouldn't...
That wasn't the Mandalorian that brought Ming-Na Wen back onto his ship? Did I misread that whole thing? It's another Mandalorian?
I didn't think anyone brought her onto the ship.
Yeah, I think you're definitely misreading that part. He just went over to her and kind of kneeled down, but we never saw his face.
Yeah,
so we don't know who that was.
We don't know who it was. Oh, I thought it was Mando picking her up and bringing her onto the ship. But
I mean, maybe I'm projecting. At first, I thought it was. I'm like, oh, he's going back to see her to get her body or to get the bounty or whatever. But
he's still a bounty hunter, and he is always saying how stuff can be cold or warm or warm it up a little bit in the microwave. You know,
yeah, he's talking about his favorite soup.
Yeah,
maybe he's gonna bring her in cold. I don't know, but I feel like they would have just shown her his face, right? I don't know.
I have to watch it again.
Tail. Yeah, maybe we'll watch. I'll watch it again.
Interpretation there. Back to the Mos Eisley thing is that I was thinking, like, if you were, I don't know, the equivalent of today, if like you wanted to get into some bad shit, like, wouldn't you go to Vegas? Like, you wouldn't go to, like,
I guess
you wouldn't go to like South Dakota. Like, if you were like a gambler or like some high risk person, that's where you would go. So that's why Mandalorian goes to Mos Eisley, because shit's always going down there. You can always get a job there, that kind of thing. I don't know.
I guess it makes sense. I mean, you will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villains.
That's what so I'm saying. That's why you don't know a wretched hive.
But, you know, Ben Quadraneros didn't run for the mayor and clean up that area, you know?
when Jabba died, I would have figured that would have been it.
Now I'm picturing like Back to the Future, where it has like the mayor thing, but it's like Ben Quadraneros. Vote Ben Quadraneros, you know?
Mayor, I did like the stormtrooper heads on the pikes. That was pretty. That was pretty awesome. Pikes, but I don't know. I was nervous when I saw him going to Mos Eisley. I'm like, oh, are they going to do like the George Lucas? Like, oh, I always pictured it this big spaceport and blah blah, and like, you know, and like, hey, if he added all that shit.
Can we talk about how, can we talk, thank you, equal rights for droids? They're now running the cantina where they previously weren't allowed in. Segregation.
Oh, hey, look at you. Yeah. You're right.
Segregation.
Look at you.
I felt proud for those droids.
The things at the cantina are the heads of IG-88 robots.
Oh,
look at them. They are. They're the same thing. They're the same prop that they used to build IG-88.
So Ben Quadraneros like ran on a platform of equality, and that's how he got to be made.
That's right. Droid rights.
Droid rights.
Well, that guy is the same type of droid that was in Jabba's thing there, right? Saying like, oh, the last protocol droid.
Yeah, that was that guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, you're a feisty one.
Right. That was nice. Yeah.
Like,
really,
what have you been up to? I've been running this bar now. That's what I do. Yeah. Yep, here it is. I saved all my credits from Jabba's thing, and I bought this bar.
Yeah.
Good and I life. Let droids in. I say, fuck it. Let them in.
But Mandalorian still doesn't like droids. He doesn't even want them working on his ship, even the pit droids.
All right, I've just done a quick Google search, and no one thinks that's the Mandalorian going back for the body. Everybody thinks it's going to be someone else.
Okay.
Right, one of them saying a bunch of them going Boba Fett, which I was just saying as a joke, but
I know. Oh,
I stand corrected.
Like, that's,
I'm
all
sorry. I'm stupid.
Baby Boba Fett.
It better not be, right?
It's baby Boba
Fett.
Wouldn't
that be silly?
They're doing baby Boba.
Baby
Fett?
Boba Fett.
Yeah, baby Boba. It'll be like the new Yoda, the new baby Yoda. They're like, oh, baby Yoda's so
great. They're really cashed in on the baby Yoda. They're just now it's baby Boba Fett.
It'll be like Muppet Babies.
Yeah, it's gonna be Muppet Babies of Star Wars.
All the babies, yeah.
I'll take that for the holiday special. Throw that in there.
That's right. Here you go. Star Wars babies.
They own all of it.
It's okay. So
could be a big crossover.
You, John. Yeah, the big Muppet Star Wars crossover that we've all been. Didn't they do that? Well, they had.
Yeah, Luke Skywalker.
Was Mark Hamill? Mark
and Campbell C-3PO and R2-D2 and Gonzo was Darth Vader or Dirt Nader or whatever it was. Ralph Nader.
Running against Ben Quadraneros. Don't vote for Nader.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I stand corrected, John. I feel dumb now. I'm a big dummy.
Okay. Mission accomplished then. That was what I was trying to do, was make you feel dumb. I was just trying to set the record straight.
Just like he made me feel dumb when he used to pretend to lose to me at Nintendo games.
I'm going to let Jensen have this one.
Get Josh on here. Maybe I can make him feel dumb about something too.
You are the elder. You can, sun us all you want. Yeah.
That's right. Just like hit us with your cane, like old Biff. Just be like, hey, stupid. Hello. Well, I did, overall, I liked the episode. It was fun. But there were a few. I'm like, God, Tatooine again. And like the same speeders that Anakin used, the same binoculars that Luke had in New Hope.
I'm cool with
the same sand people that were there.
Yeah, right. The same sand.
I like on Star Wars Minute, whenever they talk about sand people, they're like, that's racist. They're called Tusken Raiders.
Well, they did call them Tusken Raiders in this episode, which I thought was good because it does sound silly to say sand. Sand. You remember you told me of your mother and the sand?
Remember how they used to bray like mules?
I mean, like, what a weird, I don't know. It seems like, to call them, I think sand people was what, like, we called them because we didn't know what they were.
Yeah, he says sand people. He says it in.
You're right. He does. He's like sand.
He goes sand people and then goes.
The worst.
No, the worst.
when Mando took off in the middle of the night, I was like, when is he due back?
I'm going to say this about him. He sure, for someone that's protective about his ship, he's always leaving the door wide open.
I know. It's kind of weird. And for people are trying to kill him.
He's mad when someone does something to him.
Yeah. What's that?
Amy Sedaris has the keys because she had to drop it off.
Amy Sedaris had the key. I know, but he still got out pretty easily, right? Guy can use the force. He can do anything. Just what are you leaving him around for?
Oh, jeez.
I don't know. It is pretty. I thought that too. I mean, I guess it's just for the story to move along. You have to just,
suppose if I can. If I can accept a little green troll with ears that has the force that can walk down steps, I guess I can look past the fact that he's leaving the car door wide open.
You got to leave the car door open in the summertime. You know, you don't want your baby.
Yeah, you don't want it to get too hot, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, not all heroes wear capes. The guy that breaks the Mandalorian's windshield so that Baby Yoda can get some air.
I feel there's probably a thing that could be, he could leave him in a room that would have an air conditioning unit that would turn on every few minutes to keep him cool.
I don't know. It's a desert planet. You would have to be, there's twin suns.
Yeah. It's my favorite casino on Tatooine. Twin Suns Casino.
Twin Suns Casino.
Is it better than the one from Last Jedi that they,
anything's better than the one in The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
That was jerk casino. The stupid.
For the pointless casino.
Wait, wasn't I saying? Oh, yeah. I had the whole song about Canto Bite.
Yeah.
I don't even remember how it went, but you get in a fight in Canto Bite.
You get arrested for double parking.
Oh, God. Don't get me started on the terrible Star Wars. We're talking about kind of okay Star Wars now.
Yeah. But, I know.
And terrible Star Wars is coming in 2 weeks, so.
No,
that'll ruin things.
Nobody bought their tickets. Yeah. I didn't.
Happy Christmas, John. A shitty Star Wars.
When you asked me if I was like, so are we going to go see this or what? And I was like, I wasn't even planning on seeing it, but I will if we're going to go get drinks too.
Well, you suggested that, you said we should see it together. So I was like, oh.
I probably did that because we could just wallow in our misery at the same time.
Right. We could leave the theater and be like, okay, so good.
Both of us would be fidgeting and sighing throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, no one could make fun of me for doing it.
Like, remind me, Doc, to sit next to you guys. No, you know, I'm not even invited.
Well, I mean, I figured you would want to enjoy the movie. John and I would just be like,
you're right. I don't want to go with you guys.
You don't want to go with us.
You still walked out of Batman v Superman not hating it. And me and Durst were like, that was the dumbest thing ever.
Oh, my God. I mean, I also, to be fair, I walked into that movie thinking it was going to be the dumbest thing ever. And I was not disappointed. It was the dumbest movie ever. So, yeah.
So,
but
we're getting a Wonder Woman 2 trailer today.
Oh.
They teased it yesterday.
Wait, can we talk about the James Bond trailer? Because everybody was going, this movie's going to be a disaster. And I saw the trailer and I was like, this looks fucking awesome.
It's going to be the best one ever. It looks so good. It's like this greatest hits of it already just in the trailer.
I mean, it was what I wanted. It was perfect. I was just like, this is what I want in my James Bond movies. And I watched it with Jen.
She's like, oh, this looks good. And I was like, wait for this part. And then it shows the Aston Martin and the guns come out from behind the things. And he does the just spinning out, shooting everyone. Shit. I was like, that is the greatest thing ever. Even if the rest of the movie sucks, it's worth it for just that one part.
And that bicycle jump, even
bad James Bond is still better than bad Star Wars.
Yeah.
Not by much, but
well, I mean, I didn't love
Quantum of Solace. Yeah, no one loved
Spectre.
But people
loved Spectre was okay.
I still think that, you know, with Quantum of Solace and Spectre, which Spectre is my least favorite of all of those movies, but I still think that it's like a pizza thing. Like, not all, you know, it's just pizza. Yes. Like, there's some good pizza, but no pizza's bad.
Except for blue pizza.
Yeah.
Bad for you. Right. Yeah. Bad for you.
But yeah, I feel that Spectre, I liked the pre-credit sequence a lot. That one tracking shot, even though you could see where they were seaming it together, was real cool. I was like, oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
I like that. Day of the Dead
thing. Yeah, that was really cool.
That was cool. I mean, I didn't hate that movie, but I was...
No, I didn't either.
I didn't hate it.
I thought Quantum of Solace was kind of boring. Like, I didn't...
Yeah, well, that's what... Well, we saw that one together, too, and I was like, oh, this is the shortest James Bond movie. And you were like, really? Because it feels like the longest.
It felt really long. Like, I felt really bored in that movie. But, like, I mean, if you go back to Casino Royale... Forget it. That's just...
That movie that is awesome. Really long. That one's really long. I remember I watched it with my father, and like, there's that scene after you think it's over, and then it cuts to him like seeing Mr. White at the end. And my father's like, how much longer we got on this? Because, you
know. I know, it does seem like the whole thing, the girl dies. Spoiler alert. I mean, the girls always die. Not always, Vesper. But a lot. Yeah. But yeah, it does seem like, oh, and then another one. Oh, and now another one. Another scene.
But that last scene is only like a minute and a half long. Right. And it's really fucking cool. And they play the James Bond theme and you're like, all right, that was worth that. That was worth that small amount of aggravation I felt for a second, you know, that I thought this movie wasn't done yet.
This new one has a returning Bond girl, which is something that they don't ever do. So that's kind of interesting. And that, you know,
and there's a different person. It's 007.
Well, I think that's what got everybody all mad.
I had to stop watching certain.
Sorry,
there's nothing to be mad about.
I was just like, "What is wrong with these people?" Yeah,
it's just a job title. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. But they're like, they'll get rid of James Bond, and then this new woman's going to be 007. We're going to start following her. And I was like, James Bond's been around for 50 whatever fucking years. They're not going to do that. If anything, they would do a spin-off, but they will never just like stop doing a James Bond. But that, it's like printing money making those movies.
They might not have Ian Fleming canon. Like, they might not have had it like where, James Bond retires and somebody else gets a 007 number. I think it's always been him, but in modern, it's just a job title. Like, you could do that, you know? You're like, yeah, that's a new 007. There's only 10 of them, or there's only 12. Or even 8. But the numbers go backwards. Oh, 7 is the most important one.
Yeah, it is.
Look at you. You guys know all your shit.
It wouldn't be 0012. It'd be like single 012, right. Really, because you've got to keep it 3 digits.
Yeah, 012.
012, yeah.
012. So Christoph Waltz is back in this.
I think he'll have a very small part, but an integral one. And you know what? I'm glad, because I kind of feel like they botched the whole Blofeld and Spectre.
Yeah.
I think most people were like, well, why are they going to be related? Why do they have to turn into a Marvel movie where everything's connected? And I was like, yeah, I kind of feel that way too. But again, the Bond producers have always sort of chased trends rather than setting them. I mean, they set the trend initially, and then everybody copied them, and then they start copying everybody else.
But, right.
But it's good.
This one is really, really good. Yeah. It's the guy that did that directed the first season of True Detective. True is a director.
Getting away from
Sam Mendes.
Supposed to be we're going to have Danny Boyle, but then there were creative differences.
Danny,
I feel like he has creative differences with a lot of people.
After I saw Trainspotting 2, I was like, okay, I'm glad he didn't do it.
Yeah.
I like Trainspotting
2. The second one. They did a second one just a couple years ago, and it was just nothing.
Heard you say Trainspotting as well, so.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I did.
That's a Trainspotting 2.
Sorry.
Obi-Wan
Kenobi.
Completely.
Yeah.
That's Obi-Wan. Right. It did have Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Really? Obi-Wan Kenobi and Sherlock Holmes.
I just thought it didn't have any point. There was no point to doing that.
No, it's like a nostalgia bomb.
And former James Bond villain, Begbie.
That's right. That's right. A lot of connections. Speaking of Marvel movies, too, this one has the Maria Rambeau from Captain Marvel she's the big. Oh, James Bond, the woman James Bond that we're going to have to follow.
Oh, and she's not white, too. Oh, my God, she's a woman. And she's
plus black, a seven. Seven.
That's the most important number out of all of them.
The most important. Clay just said it was the most important number. I really love James Bond.
Lando is gender fluid. I just gonna slip my throat right now.
Slit your
because everything in the world is ruined. Forget it. I'm not even gonna watch anything.
Next, they're gonna make a live action Transformers movie and give Optimus Prime a mouth. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. I was watching that YouTube video for the trailer, and then the next suggested thing was all the cell phone footage of the guy doing the motorcycle jump that's in the trailer, and it's fucking crazy because it was shot from a bunch of different angles. They were like, yeah, sure, just shoot it on your phone, and then like somebody compiled all of them, and it looks fucking badass. It's so cool. Guy really flying through the air like that on his motorcycle.
I figured that was just computer trickery. Yes. But I know Bond movies like to do it for real when they can.
Yeah.
Well, if you watch in the beginning of The World Is Not Enough, the speedboat chase, and he does that flip on the speedboat, and he does like a twirly thing. You can see the stunt guy is clearly wearing a helmet.
I think of that when I think that era of James Bond. I think of that scene.
Well, my favorite part of that scene is when he's underwater and he fixes his tie. Best part. But that movie is pretty bad, actually. I didn't
love that one. That one sort of almost lost me with James Bond. I was like, well, this is not good.
That was just silly. That movie
that could have, like, you could have just inserted Roger Moore into that movie. And you know what? Here's the thing. I think Pierce was a great Bond, but he's been overshadowed by Daniel Craig because, like, Pierce's Bond movies are kind of forgettable now, you know, because they were just kind of generic.
They were just kind of action movies that had no real character or anything. Although Tomorrow Never Dies I really liked that one.
I still like that one. I still like Goldeneye, other than that soundtrack to that movie is like painful, you know?
Goldeneye is pretty dated, though. When you look at it now, you're like, oh, this looks like it came out in the mid 90s. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it looks Yeah, I mean, whatever. It doesn't have that Raiders of the Lost Ark, like, wow, yes, it's really perfect. So,
I mean, so there's some miniature work in it that's a little meh, like when the jet planes crash into the satellite dish.
Oh yeah, it's
pretty phony, but right. But there's a great miniature shot in it where Boris comes out of the bunker and starts having a cigarette outside, and that's a miniature behind him. I was like, that's really well done. I would have had no idea. It looked like he was really there.
There you go. See, I had no idea. And the one with Halle Berry is pretty good. What was that one called? Death something in ice. I don't know. Die in the ice. Death in ice.
Dying, yes. Die another day. I don't know. A lot of people hate that one because it has the invisible car. And like they were like, well, this one's like the Moonraker. I feel like the first half of that movie is enjoyable. And then the second half, it kind of goes off the rails. I liked him getting captured and stuff. I was like, oh, this is cool. We're going to do something different. And then like 20 minutes in, we're like, oh, we're not going to do
this. Yeah, they just shave off that
beard, get a haircut, and then he's all right.
Back to normal. Yeah. But I thought overall, I like the ice hotel thing that they go to. That's like a real thing. That's like a real place.
I liked that car chase on the ice too. That was fun. Like when he flips over and then he uses the ejector seat to flip himself back. And I like that stuff. And
they do some fun stuff.
Yeah. So again, a bad it's like pizza without gluten or whatever.
Exactly. I think Clay's right. It definitely applies to James Bond as well. There's no real bad pizza.
I was just looking at the gaps between like A View to a Kill came out in 1985, and then the next movie was Living Daylight in 1987. So it's like not even much time between actors.
Well, yeah. Most of the time they used to come out every 2 years until between Timothy Dalton's last one there, License to Kill and Goldeneye, there was a 6 year gap. And then between Die Another Day and Casino Royale, I think there was four. Now there's like a lot
2002
of
2002 for Die Another Day and 2005. So yeah, you're right. Yeah. Like three or 4 years.
Well, it is. Yeah. I mean, we kind of think like, I remember thinking like, well, I guess that's it for James Bond. You know what I mean? Like after, before Daniel Craig, I remember thinking like, oh geez, all right, I guess we're not going to get any more of these.
And then do five. That's a lot.
He's also the person who's had the most number of years as Bond, not the most movies, but the longest time being cast.
Interesting.
Which doesn't feel like it. Feels like that.
I know.
Casino Royale came out like 2 weeks ago.
Well, it feels like Sean Connery. That movie is also.
Well, Sean Connery, 73 because to 85.
If you look at the what?
I'm Sean, look, yeah, well, but he had like a gap in there.
Roger
too,
Moore, 73 to 85.
Roger Moore, 73. Yeah, no, Connery started in 62, and then then did it up to 1962
to 83. For it never say never again. But 83 wasn't.
He was like not really. He wasn't signed for the role that whole time.
Yeah, never say never again. So it's like 62 to 71. For Diamonds
which was directed by Irving Kirshner, who did The Empire Strikes Back. Now, talk to him. I said, Sean, you gotta come back. You gotta put on the hair. You gotta wear the gun. And he was I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And I was like, we'll pay you a lot of money. And he said, okay, sign me up.
Wait a minute. I got to ask a question. Is this how Irving Kirshner talks, or is this how Bill McMahon would like, do?
Are you doing Billy Crystal?
Bill McMahon's down there. Irving Kirshner is up here.
Oh, okay.
Irving, you know, there's a little difference. There's Bill McMahon.
They almost have the same voice. Yeah, but that's how Irving Kirshner talks.
All right.
This is a master class in impersonations. It's like having Rich Little on the show today. Right? He's a little bit more up here.
I can do Irving Kirshner.
All right, next audio comic. Yeah. We'll do the Irving Kirshner voice.
Yeah, it'll be Irving Kirshner and Avi Arad will be two character voices.
I'd be like, you can't see that little Yoda. You know, he's a little monster on the Dagobah.
The little Yoda? Did you? My favorite Bond movie has to be the documentary about
George Lazenby.
Even though it's not a Bond movie, but it's still one of my watching the best movie.
That's on Hulu, right?
Science Theater.
I haven't.
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
I'm gonna.
We were watching Mystery Science Theater Channel on Pluto last night, and they had Master Ninja 2 or American Ninja 2 or something, and George Lazenby was on it. Because it's just an old TV show. They edited two episodes together to make a movie. And I was like, whoa. George Lazenby looked like he was dyeing his hair or something in that. It was.
It's so funny. Clay, you have to watch this movie. It's just like the funniest.
Yeah.
Like, he's a really funny dude. Like, I had no idea. I was like, oh, this sad sack, whatever. He did one Bond movie. He's got a
crap ton of money because
I know he does. And he was like getting women left and right. Like, he was getting laid everywhere. And like,
that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Be George Lazenby. He was like almost like a real life James Bond.
He was like,
I know. So how did he make so much money just from this one?
He has like real estate stuff.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it wasn't even from James Bond, but he was always the guy who was James Bond. Like,
yeah, it looks like, yeah, he probably does like conventions and shit, right?
But there was like that sad sort of story where he was supposed to meet that woman and like,
oh yeah,
he like never, like, if only there were cell phones back then. But I think he had a pretty good life. Like, you know, what I mean? It sounded like he did okay.
He did all right.
Voices on Batman Beyond.
See, look at him and Sulu.
And Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
I guess not on Batman. Was he on Batman Beyond? I guess he was the Return.
Yeah,
of the
Joker. He did the Joker in that Batman Beyond movie thing.
Right. The Return of the Joker. Yeah. Yes. So,
I started watching a documentary last night on Hulu, which was about the Amazing Jonathan. It's pretty wild. I recommend it.
Oh, he's right here. The Amazing Jonathan. We're talking to him right now, aren't we?
Yeah, Amazing Jonathan.
Oh, you're awesome.
Ventriloquist,
impressionist,
the awesome
magician, cokehead. Just kidding. That's what Amazing Jonathan is, not John Hunt.
Yeah, no, I am a karaoke master,
gluten-free,
gluten-free. that's how I advertise myself, as gluten-free.
Yeah, gluten-free Hunt.
So I wanted a really quick, there was a big Comic-Con in Brazil, recently, apparently. It was like and Kevin Feige was there, and this is like their big Comic-Con, I guess. And it's just CCXP, I guess. They got, so they had like footage.
CC Pedro.
Yeah.
And so that's this weekend, right? That's when they said that. I only know because you said that, but that's, they advertise at the end of Wonder Woman that's when the trailer is going to go up. It's like 9:30 after CCXP.
I think it's happening now.
Sunday afternoon, so they're probably packing up their long boxes. The guys are doing like 2-for-1 deals. Take these things from me.
That's right.
Everybody's tired. Take
things and shove it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. And all the celebrities are canceling their panels so they can go home. I don't even know if they had that. But they showed some WandaVision. They showed some Black Widow. They showed some Eternals. So like, yeah. I mean, Endgame was. I mean, we knew this, but like, Marvel is. They're still just they just move right along. Like, and they said that, oh yeah, no, there'll be another big crossover down the road with all these characters again. Like not Iron Man and Captain America and Thor, but like Captain Marvel, Black Panther, you know, all these, we're going to build to another big crossover. So it's
Marvel Manor, where you can have different people on the Avengers team.
Galactus.
Shit like that.
Maybe. Now that they own that now too. So
you culminate that in a Fantastic Four movie with Galactus in it?
Who knows?
That's
what you're gonna do.
Yeah, that's what I would do. And now hold on, let me get Avi Arad on the phone. Even though I don't think he has anything to do with them anymore.
But. Please clear your throat before the impression. Please.
So
Avi Arad has nothing to say. Damn, I thought you were gonna go right into it.
Oh, sorry. hello. John told me to come on the show, talk about characters, talk about Galactus. This time, he won't be a cloud.
Yeah. Well, I think
from that's Fantastic Four in the 60s, when the Silver Surfer. Hello.
Yeah. We're listening.
Waiting for your ideas, Avi.
Oh, well, my idea is to have Galactus in the Fantastic Four because he has to eat a planet. And if you read the old Jack Kirby Fantastic Four, he wanted to eat Earth. He comes down to Earth. But the characters get together and you learn about the humanity of the Silver Surfer. And that's the story. And then we're going to do This Man, This Monster.
Oh, okay. Is that the thing story? Or you just...
Yeah, that's the thing story. Yes, that's the thing story. All right, get out here, Avi. I got to get back.
Avi, they want some input on Venom 2. Go talk about that over there with them.
Oh, that's going to be all about Venom and Sean Cassidy. Sean
Cassidy.
And David Cassidy. It's going to be about the Cassidy brothers. They're going to get together. And they're going to get to be Red Venom, and they're going to meet up with the Red Hulk. And that's about it. All right, get out. All right, I'm back, guys. Sorry that's about enough. That.
Yeah, thanks.
And Avi won't leave. He's just...
What do you think will happen in Fantastic Four anyway?
Oh, let me tell you.
Shut up, Avi! I mean, really, John and Clay, let's use our expertise. I don't know. I guess maybe we should
introduce them in another movie somehow, I think.
Right. Just like they did with Spider-Man.
In the background on the TV, they'll be like, these guys are launching up to go to the moon, do weird stuff. You'll see like the little hints of that. And then like a post-credit sequence will be like the introduction, sort of like where Agent Coulson found Thor's hammer at the end of whatever it was,
right.
Iron Man 2 or something.
I think they did have a little.
It'll be like that. Cameo. It'll be like, the Fantastic Four crashed in the Hudson River, like Captain Sully and shit, and then that would be like,
or like you have Captain Reed Sully. Pick up on have Reed pick up on all the science that Tony left behind in his technology and shit, and like come well, up that with was a somebody way to go to the Phantom Zone or whatever. Where is it? The Negative Zone. That's where they're always going.
The Negative Zone.
Phantom Zone. Superman.
That is something that somebody speculated on, that like Reed Richards would be the new like father figure for Spider-Man or whatever. And blah, blah, blah.
Spider-Man need a father figure? He never That's like his thing is he doesn't have one. Like
I think he's giving them the rub in this at this point. You know what I mean? It's not like, well, we're going to use Tony Stark to make Spider-Man. Like now we're using Spider-Man to make these guys.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, let's face it. They've never done Fantastic Four right ever. So it would be nice to see a good movie for a change. Yeah. But and then we got X-Men at some point.
X-Men.
They fight the evil Magneto, the Toad, and the Punk.
We do a mashup of the two X-Men teams. That'd be great.
Wait.
Or whatever the word. I don't care if they ever do another X-Men movie because I'm just not into those.
Well, I'm into some of them. I'm into like Days of Future Past and
I like that. I liked it and stuff, but X-Men never spoke to me, I guess, the way they do to some people. It's like one of those things that like if you're an angsty teen, you kind of latch on to the X-Men, you know?
Yeah, you don't know what it's like. Everyone total accepted loser. You. Everyone loved you.
Yeah.
You're awesome.
People hated us.
Awesome.
We felt like outcasts.
Well,
It's not true.
You're right. A lot of people hate John.
Yeah, plenty of people did.
I don't know. I'm 43 years old, and I like what's going on in X-Men right now. For the most part, there's still some things I'm like, "What? That's silly." But you know, Jonathan Hickman's got it going on, so I'm liking it. Maybe they'll use some of his stuff in the new in whatever new movie or Disney Plus show that they decide to put out. But you know what? It's better to wait. Because people have a lot of negative X-Men feelings, I think. So
yeah, there's that.
Give it a rest.
Yeah, because that's Mask Movie, I don't think was that good. Although I never saw it, but everyone.
And then they have to like retrofit in like all the people that like have superpowers in the Marvel universe, like Quake. They couldn't call them fucking. They called them Inhumans, and not mutants, but they're really just mutants. You know, kind of. So they have to have two species of people that have.
Well, I don't think they've ever been able to ever even mention, like, nobody's really had powers. Like, even Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch were, they were used, like, they used the Mind Stone to give them
powers. Quake has powers on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't count that.
And Captain Marvel has powers.
But she was not. She was given the powers by the Kree. She wasn't born with powers. Mm. Mutants are born with their powers.
Yeah, and so are the Inhumans from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Which
I don't,
is...
I don't count that, though. That doesn't count!
It does, it does count.
Ah, whatever.
But they get all their stuff from the fucking whatever. Is it the Kree ships?
Digging from the fucking whatever.
The whatever, yeah.
Never mind. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. You're right.
Because they should have just called Quake.
Whatever, like Boomer.
Yeah, okay, Boomer.
Quake. Quake has powers. We're like, who the hell is Quake? I'm like, who's this guy talking about? Sorry. I haven't watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. since like season one. So
I watched two episodes of the show the entire run. So.
All right. I mean, it was kind of like, I feel like Marvel like was still kind of like getting off the ground as far as like, yeah, let's try this. Let's try that. But like now, like they've got it all down. Like they should just do the show again, make it better.
Fix it.
Yeah. Anyways, I think that's all I got. Does anybody want to talk about anything else?
No, I read comics. And
I would have talked about Star Trek getting a fourth movie, but. Like, there's really not much to say about that because it's not a whole lot of news.
Yeah. Are they getting a...
Yeah, they've announced the fourth movie, yeah.
With the same, with Chris Pine and...
Yeah, that's the rumor.
That's interesting.
Chris Pine wants to be like James Bond, and he wants to go and try to beat William Shatner for playing Captain Kirk in years.
Captain Kirk the lungs, yeah.
I heard, like, Zoe Saldana was kind of done with some of these... space franchises and stuff, but maybe not because they probably just threw a lot of money at her and she said,
well, okay. You know, it's just in the like development stage, so there's plenty of time for it to fall apart.
Well, I hope they do it because that last one was pretty good.
I loved the last one, and I like this cast. I feel that they kind of got the tone correct in the last one.
You don't think the movies are starting to feel a little episodic?
Did you say erotic?
I mean, sure.
Let me ask my wife. Yes. My hand. Oh, did you guys see the trailer for Free Guy, the Ryan Reynolds movie?
I haven't, but there's a lot of good people in that. I haven't watched the trailer yet, it's but like, it's got Taika Waititi.
I don't exactly got
everybody
understand.
From Stranger Things.
I don't exactly understand what's going on. Like, it's like he's in a video game. So it's kind of like a fucking Ready Player One kind of thing, but reverse. Like, he's a character. He's a video game character that comes to life.
Oh, character. Did I hear the magic word character?
It's a character.
Oh, let me tell you. Ryan Reynolds was a character called Deadpool in the movie The Wolverine, the X-Men Origins. And I said he had to have his mouth sewed shut.
So that was your fault, call. Avi? Thanks
that was a
lot.
Good call,
yeah,
Avi.
Good job.
Well, I wanted to, you know, I figured he would just talk so much that the mouth would come unsewn and that would be more funny. And that's how his face would be deformed. And then we shot Wolverine in the head and he forgot everything.
Yeah, what a dumb
thank movie. You for having me on the show.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Avi.
They're in talks for Venom 3. Get over there.
All right, going.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I just heard about this movie. It looks pretty cool.
Trailer. It's fun.
Oh, very
it keeps showing up on my YouTube feed, and I just see him that he has like a bloody nose. I'm like, I have no idea what this is.
Well, it goes right along with the video games that we were talking about earlier. See, so everything comes around full circle.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Unrelated to anything at all, is Stacy and I are binge watching Barry because she'd never seen it before, and that show is so bingeable, just one after
the other. It's a great show.
Oh, so
good. I love that show. Yeah, very good show. And if you like Bill Hader,
he's genius. Definitely. She was like, "Oh, it's kind of like a Dexter kind of show." I was like, "Yeah, I guess it kind of is."
Yeah. Don't be a hater. Like Bill Hader. Yeah, Avi. Too bad you didn't get this one. Were you doing like Beavis and Butthead there? What was going on with
that? No, I was just giving a nervous laugh.
Oh, because that was a bad joke. Well, it was supposed to be a bad joke.
I know. That's why I gave you the dumb laugh.
No, but Barry is great. There's a lot of, like, I thought it was going to be straight up comedy, but it's like, it can get pretty dark at times, too. So
yeah.
And of course, it's got the Fonz, Henry Winkler.
Like, who doesn't love that guy? He's great.
I know. He is great. He's better now than he was.
I think so, too.
Yeah. He's so funny. So, yeah, definitely Barry. Good choice, Clay. That's a good, it's one of my favorite shows.
And it's one of those things, it's like The Good Place where it benefits from just watching an episode after it, or like if nobody's seen Breaking Bad and they go to watch Breaking Bad and you're just like, oh, give me another one. It's like kind of like that show. It's short too. It's like half hour.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. Well, I was watching it, like, I'd have to sit through Game of Thrones, and then because Barry was coming on after, like, the last season of Barry was on, right? So I'm like, all right, I'll watch stupid Game of Thrones, even though it wasn't stupid, but this last season was pretty boring. But yeah. So there we go.
Very well.
Good job. Good choice, Clay. Watch Barry. Anything else? John, you got about 50 books that you're working on now that you want to
watch? Same books as always. I got two deadlines this week. It'll be My Hero Academia and My Hero Academia Smash. And I just turned in Splatoon number 9. And don't forget to read your weekly chapters for Demon Slayer Kimetsu and My Hero Academia. And then every other week, it's My Hero Academia Vigilantes. And then monthly, there's Blue Exorcist that I work on the chapters. And probably another Yu-Gi-Oh! Book at some point. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on.
So don't forget to work.
I've got like 10 whatever titles currently I'm working on. So,
oh, very good. So if you're reading anything by Viz, there's a good chance John Hunt lettered it.
Yep.
And made it possible. I keep picturing Captain America going, My Hero Academia, Smash.
It wouldn't hurt to smash a few things along the way.
I think about Dersen as Captain America saying, what do you want me to do? Call out the stops like a plucked chicken or whatever that line was.
What was that?
Captain America? Like a bus driver or a plucked chicken. I can't remember, but it was a real weird line.
From an audio comic?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Right. Like a plucked chicken. I don't remember the one with the red skull or whatever.
We did like three of them. There was I guess there were two where you were Captain America. Maybe I was Captain America in that one, but I can't remember. But it was one of those Jack Kirby ones that were just like when he came back in the 70s and didn't have anyone doing his dialogue. And he was just saying weird shit. And then he was like, this is what made the great musicals of the 40s so awesome. And it's like, what?
But I don't know. But I remember. Well, I do remember you.
This is a take.
That's right. That was where that was. But you were the Red Skull in a couple because you were like,
I had to. I was like doing cocaine beforehand to really just get my energy up.
I got John nothing else Hunt. Other than those.
Yes. The amazing John Hunt.
Check out the documentary
and his impressions. Yeah. All right, guys. Well
I don't want to impose this on you, but now I want to hear Get Ready Girls, This Is a Take at the beginning of this episode. We haven't heard that in a while.
No. I know. I'll have to dig it out.
Well, just say it again. Oh, you can just take my sample of it, and that'll be like a variation on the same thing. Get Ready Girls,
variant, This
Is a Take.
Variant edition.
Variant cover.
Yeah.
Get Ready. John, Clay used to think that was something that we took from somewhere.
I thought that both of them were from like Power Records. I didn't know that they were like original.
That's the quality we were putting them out.
That's right.
Power Records level quality.
1980. It's like
1970s.
Right. Yeah.
A real record label. So it's signed. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I'll sign it for you.
Well, let's end this. Let's end this fucker.
This fucker.
Get ready, Goyles. This is a take. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
I probably couldn't even do it.
That was a little. That was a little too energetic. To break down. Yeah. Get it.
What's my motivation?
Okay.
Is that you just want to get ready?
Motivation is to tell these Goyles to get ready. Get ready, Goyles. This is a take. Yeah.
There you go. Perfect. I love it.
About it.
Print.
Print. You're ready. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll see you chumps later.
Sayonara, shitheads.
Later, you fucks. Goyles and boys.
Get ready, Goyles. This is a take.